I'm Steve Potter, and later on Cityscape, we're going to meet filmmakers Nick Jordan and Jacob Cartwright. Their new documentary, Between the Rivers, examines the troubled history of Cairo, Illinois. And we meet singer Steve England. He'll be performing from his concept album, Greetings from Cairo, Illinois, following the movie screening tonight as part of the St. Louis International Film Festival. But first, a bit of trivia. According to foodreference.com, the average American eats almost 60 pounds of bread a year. And 100 years ago, 70% of bread in the United States was baked at home. Well, for this month's Soundbite segment, produced in partnership with Sauce Magazine, we welcome Sauce's managing editor, Stacy Schultz, Josh Allen, owner of Companion Bakery, and Ted Wilson, who plans to open Loafers, a new bakery, next year. Welcome, everyone.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Sauce is all about bread.
Yes, we actually, you know, we decided it's obviously a food-filled time of year with the holidays. And while a lot of magazines, local and national, are, you know, dedicating their issues to the holidays, us having our holiday guide tucked into the November issue actually frees up that whole issue to do something kind of new and different.
Yeah, this is a double issue. Explain that.
It is indeed. We've done our holiday guide in November for the past couple of years, and this is the first year we've actually, instead of inserting it, we've put it inside the actual issue. And to kind of draw readers' attention, we did something that magazines have been doing for a little while now, where we did half the issue is printed, or I guess it's more than half. Part of the issue is printed one direction, and you flip it, and the holiday guide starts on the other side.
So you decided to focus on bread for November because it's a holiday season. I guess people like to bake, and it's something you do in the cold season, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Baking, I mean, the winter and the cooler weather is a great opportunity to get in the kitchen. The humidity's low. It's a nice time to start baking and kind of work on those projects that you've wanted to get into.
Well, it's interesting to me because I'm not a baker. I don't bake anything. I've never baked bread in my entire life, so I'm really curious about this. A lot of people, it's a hobby for Josh and Ted. For the amateur, do you need those bread, since I don't know anything about it, if you're an amateur, do you need those bread baking machines? Is that how you do it?
No, not at all.
I thought you'd say that.
Yeah. I mean, I think bread baking as a hobby is the same as every other hobby. You can have all kinds of equipment, and you can have almost nothing, and you can achieve some fabulous results. So you can do a home kit and turn your oven into a hearth oven with stones or ceramic tiles. You can have really expensive scales and mixers and all kinds of things, or you can have a bag of flour in your hands, and you can make it happen. At the end, you need a heat source. But outside of that, you know, you can kind of do it as you need to.
So, Ted, what, those machines are just gimmicks, I guess?
Yeah, and I think they take the fun out of it.
How's that?
Because they remove you from the process. They make it so everything else is taken care of. You just put the flour and the water together with some yeast. And
that's too easy.
Boom, you've got some bread. But that's essentially what you're doing anyway, so why buy a machine to do that?
Makes sense to me. Josh, you grew up working in your family business, Allen Foods, but you never had a formal training in bread baking, as I understand. Yet you opened a Companion Baking Company in your 20s, I guess it was. And now, or over time, it was ended up being sold in grocery stores and now lots of restaurants. So what's your story on that? How'd you get there?
You know, I grew up in the family business, and Allen Foods was a distributor, and I grew up on my way to baseball games or soccer games, making a delivery to a customer and understanding customer service and really loving the food industry and the chefs I got to meet. Went to college, ended up working in some restaurants, and ended up working inside of a Whole Foods in Palo Alto, California, inside the bakery. And I think like a lot of industries, and especially food, the first day in, you either love it or you run screaming and you never come back. And there was something about bread, to me, starting from absolutely nothing every day with flour, water, and salt, and having these beautiful loaves of bread at the end that was really just magical. And knock on wood, 23 years later, it's still magical.
Mm-hmm. Ted, how did it happen for you? You, as I understand, began baking bread in high school?
Well, I began baking pizza in high school, but okay. it was making the dough for the pizza that drew me in. And, yeah, like Josh said, there's something completely magical about it that I've never been able to describe and I've never understood.
Is
just
it the
why.
Aroma? Is it the aroma, you think?
That's certainly part of it. There's nothing like both the dough, the aroma of the dough as it ferments, but also as it bakes in the oven. Those are two very different but very special things.
I think you worked in New York for a while and then ended up in St. Louis at the Good Pie.
Yes.
Where I understand you're responsible. You were responsible for some sort of pizza crust?
Yes. I was. I kind of took care of the pizza crust and brought it to life there. But again, that was mostly the oven, more than me. Pizza's always been a part of this for me.
All right. And you plan to open your own place next year sometime?
Yes.
Right. All right, Stacy, what have you done? You have solicited questions about bread and bread making from readers of Sauce?
Yes, believe it or not, an entire issue dedicated to bread didn't even answer all the questions. Bread is kind of, it's most basic, it's four simple ingredients, but there's an endless number of factors and that go into mastering the art of it. And so since the issue was such a great opportunity to kind of shine a light on the people in restaurants that are baking bread and trying to make a mark on bread in St. Louis, we thought we'd bring both Ted and Josh in here, who are two of those people, and kind of ask our readers what their burning bread questions are and let these two take a stab at them.
Did you say burning bread?
I did.
Has anyone termed the phrase a bready, I wonder? These guys.
These guys would fit if they did, I'm sure.
Well, why don't you throw some questions at our experts here?
All right. Our first one is from a home cook. What is the best way to bake bread in a convection oven versus a conventional oven? Any specific temperatures or time intervals you can recommend?
Well, you know, I think baking bread ideally has conductive heat as opposed to convection heat. So we're not looking for all the air movement. We're looking for the heat to come from the bottom up. So okay. We generally will use a stone, a hot pan, a hot tile, or something like that. So if the convection oven, if the fan can be turned off, that's better because we really aren't looking for that. If something's baking in a pan or on a pan, like a cookie, a cake, something like that, then the air circulation around it does create even rising and is nice for the bake. But with bread, we're really trying to create that bottom-up heat is what gives us the bloom and the crust development. So anything we can do to turn the fan off or mitigate the fan the best that we can is always best.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And I also feel that for bread baking, generally, there's been this movement with cast iron cooking and enamel cast iron cooking for bread. And I find that works very well because it's conductive heat. It creates a small space to capture the steam that comes off of the bread, which naturally steams the loaf and allows for a better rise.
How complicated can bread making be? I mean, what does it take to make bread? It's dough and flour and salt and...
I don't think it's very complicated at all. I think it's the most fundamental thing in a lot of ways. I mean, just taking flour, water, and salt and then applying time and heat. And what makes it, I think, difficult for people is that there are so many variations, so many different outcomes. And really, I think if you can control maybe somebody's perception of what the outcome of that bread might be or whatever bread might be coming out of their oven, they might be a little more welcoming or inviting to think that it's not a scary thing. It's a very basic, simple,
right,
potentially fun thing.
Well, there's so many options now. Maybe this wasn't true for Josh and Ted, but for Stacy, when I was growing up, it seemed like Wonder Bread was all I knew. Sliced Wonder Bread, right?
Yeah.
And today, look what you've got.
Yeah, it's great. I think, and that's kind of why we wanted to do this, is because there's more people in St. Louis baking good, you know, quality bread that we didn't have, you know, however many years ago when we were kids. And there's more and more restaurants baking their own bread in-house, which I think is really interesting and neat.
All right, let's have some more questions.
All righty. This is one we get a lot. What tool should I buy to begin baking bread at home? We just said that you don't need a bread machine, but there's always, you know, the $1,000 stand mixers and all the other things that go along with that. So I think a lot of people are interested in that.
As somebody who really started as a home baker, I think the most fundamental thing for me has always been some sort of stone, something to retain heat in the oven and also be, you know, a conductive surface so that heat is directly applied to the bread. And aside from that, I've received gifts from my brothers of great mixers and things like that, which I never touch. I find that it's best to start with the fewest amount of gadgets and gizmos so that you can understand and learn how the bread grows. And that comes by touching it with your hands.
Be one with the bread.
Exactly.
Yeah, the only thing that I would add would be a scale.
That's
I mean, I think it's it's critical from a consistency standpoint, and also, I mean, it is a lot of art and a lot of craft, but it's also a little bit of science, and we can't forget that. And a cup of flour does not weigh the same all year in St. Louis, and certainly a tablespoon of kosher salt is different than a tablespoon of fine table salt. And so I think a scale is really a critical component if you were going to invest in anything. You know, that's something that you have to have from the beginning.
That's interesting you say that, Josh, because I know a lot of people who cook that's sort of my – I don't cook using recipes or things just by eye. But I guess when you're making bread, it's more exact science?
Yeah, I mean, because we're talking about, you know, yeast could be a quarter of a pound for every 100 pounds of flour. Salt is 2 pounds for every 100 pounds of flour, you know, and 2.8 is a lot different than 1.5, and we do have to pay attention. When we have a couple of trace ingredients that are used in very small quantities but have a very significant role in the baking process, we have to make sure those things are correct.
All right. Another question from a reader of Sauce Magazine.
Yeah, and Ted, this one might be good for you. To make really good restaurant quality pizza dough at home, are there any tricks of the trade you can offer?
There are tons of little tricks that and there are forums and websites dedicated to how to achieve, say, Neapolitan results from a home oven. But fundamentally, again, I'd say it's a stone, something. Pizza dough especially needs heat directly applied to it to achieve that spring and to create, you know, that depending on what you want, sometimes a crisper crust or whatever it might be, but to me it's the stone, and then it's the way you handle the dough. And for me, I always find higher hydrated doughs that are that are given plenty of time to ferment, but that ferment in a proofing stage as opposed to a bulk stage, which sounds specific. It's not that specific, but you know, after you formed it into a ball to make the pizza, your whatever size dough you're going to use. Letting that ball of dough have the time to relax and ferment and grow. And for me, it's a day to 2 days in the refrigerator and allowing it to come back to temperature. To me, that's where you get the results of fantastic bread in your crust of your pizza dough.
So it's about patience.
It's about patience. Yeah, it's not about ingredient. I mean, it's about the flour you use and how much water you use. But I always encourage people to avoid adding salt or oil or anything to their pizza dough because you can achieve the same results just with time.
Okay. Yeast is obviously one of the four main components of bread. It's also, you know, there's natural yeast, wild yeast, things, you know, there's plenty of different kinds, and I think it's one of the scariest kind of elements of bread that scare bakers who are just beginning to get into bread. One of the questions we had is, I'm never sure if I should use active dry yeast or compressed cake yeast. They also wanted to know if there's a certain form of yeast, whether it's in a jar or packets, if there's a better type of yeast to buy.
We use instant yeast and have been using it for quite some time. So instant yeast is actually freeze-dried. So there's a movement away from the packets of active dry. The problem with active dry yeast is it's heat-dried, so you never know how much of it's still actually good. It's the reason that a lot of the old books would tell you to proof your yeast, put it in a little warm water, add some sugar and see if it bubbles, mm-hmm. and then you know your yeast was okay. Well, in a bakery environment, we don't really have the time or the inclination to do that with every batch of dough that we're making. So instant yeast is freeze-dried, and it's incredibly consistent. Compressed yeast or fresh yeast is really nice to use, but it has a very short shelf life, like 14 days.
Okay.
And it's very difficult to get in St. Louis fresh yeast that's truly within that scope of the 14 days. I think we were buying it out of Nashville or something, and it was just would mold half the time. So instant yeast a lot of times is sold as bread machine yeast, and it's sold in the jars. It has an incredible shelf life. It lasts for a long time. And that's certainly what we recommend both in home baking now and in professional baking.
Stacey, we have time for one more short one.
Okay, sure. I think this is actually for Josh, most likely. In our feature story, The Wonder Bread, Josh, you actually offered a technique of adding a pan of ice to the lower shelf of the oven right when you're putting the bread in the oven to bake. Can you kind of explain why the ice is important and what the steam does to the bread?
Well, I think it can be done with ice, and it can also be done, as Ted mentioned, with cast iron and an enamel pot cooking. Basically, mm-hmm. we're trying to delay the formation of the crust in baking. So when we do things at ambient temperature, which it means 75 to 80 degrees like your kitchen, yeast doesn't die until about 140 plus degrees. So the last part of the fermentation process is the oven spring. And the oven spring needs to happen with a dough that doesn't have a crust, doesn't have a hard crust. It needs to stay moist and have the ability to expand in the oven. So in some manner, we need to create moisture in the oven. It can be done. We recommend, if you're not using a cast iron pot, to put a pan in there, get it hot, and drop a few ice cubes on there. It's easy to move around the kitchen. It's less dangerous. If you're using an enamel pot, like Ted mentioned, which is great, you have a hot pot, you put the bread in there, you put the lid on it, it traps the moisture that's escaping from the loaf itself. But either way, we're trying to delay that formation of the crust for about the first 10 to 15 minutes of baking until the yeast is killed off by the heat. And then we want to set the crust after that by having no moisture in the oven.
We've been talking with Josh Allen of Companion Bakery and with Ted Wilson, soon to open Loafers Bakery, and we wish you all the best with that. Do you know where you're going to be yet? Or?
Not just yet.
All right. Well, we'll be watching. I'm sure Sauce Magazine will let us know.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Final bit of trivia. January is Wheat Bread Month, for what that's worth. So thanks again, and happy baking to all of you.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you.
Next on Cityscape, Between Two Rivers, the troubled history of Cairo, Illinois. This is St. Louis Public Radio.